Good morning. I'll start, as we often do here at the Department of War, with the bottom line up front, for the world to hear and the press to actually admit that the United States is decimating the radical Iranian regime's military in a way the world has never seen before. Never before has a modern, capable military, which Iran used to have, been so quickly destroyed and made combat ineffective, devastated. We said it would not be a fair fight, and it has not been. As I stated during our first press conference on day two, that was 10 short days ago, the combination of the world's two most powerful air forces is unprecedented and unbeatable. Between our air force and that of the Israelis, over 15,000 enemy targets have been struck. That's well over 1,000 a day. No other combination of countries in the world can do that. So today, as we speak, we fly over the top of Iran and Tehran, fighters and bombers all day picking targets as they choose, as our intelligence gets better and better and more refined. Looking up, the IRGC and Iranian regime sees only two things on the side of aircraft: the Stars and Stripes and the Star of David. The evil regime's worst nightmare. Iran has no air defenses. Iran has no air force. Iran has no navy. Their missiles, their missile launchers and drones being destroyed or shot out of the sky. Their missile volume is down 90%. Their one-way attack drones yesterday, down 95%. And as the world is seeing, they are exercising sheer desperation in the Straits of Hormuz. Something we're dealing with, we have been dealing with it, and don't need to worry about it. We're on plan to defeat, destroy, disable all of their meaningful military capabilities at a pace the world has never seen before. But it's not just that Iran doesn't have a functioning air force, or that their entire navy is at the bottom of the Persian Gulf, or their missile force is shrinking daily. Even more importantly, they also don't have the ability to build more. That's the most important component I'd like to emphasize today. Soon and very soon, all of Iran's defense companies will be destroyed. For example, as of 2 days ago, Iran's entire ballistic missile production capacity, every company that builds every component of those missiles, has been functionally defeated, destroyed. Buildings, complexes, and factory lines all across Iran, destroyed. So we're shooting down and destroying what missiles they still have in stock, but more importantly, ensuring that they have no ability to make more. Their production lines, their military plants, their defense innovation centers, defeated. Iran's leadership is in no better shape. Desperate and hiding, they've gone underground, cowering. That's what rats do. We know the new so-called not-so-supreme leader is wounded and likely disfigured. He put out a statement yesterday, a weak one, actually, but there was no voice and there was no video. It was a written statement. He called for unity. Apparently killing tens of thousands of protesters is his kind of unity. Iran has plenty of cameras and plenty of voice recorders. Why a written statement? I think you know why. His father, dead. He's scared. He's injured. He's on the run, and he lacks legitimacy. It's a mess for them. Who's in charge? Iran may not even know. With every passing hour, we know, and we know they know, that the military capabilities of their evil regime are crumbling. They can barely communicate, let alone coordinate. They're confused, and we know it. Our response? We will keep pressing. We will keep pushing, keep advancing. No quarter, no mercy for our enemies. Yet some in this crew, in the press, just can't stop. Allow me to make a few suggestions. People look up at the TV and they see banners, they see headlines.
I am making this historic announcement on Friday, December 12th, 2025. The future of InfoWars hangs in the balance. It is in your hands. They're having a state auction in January next year in about a month, but we don't even have the money for payroll or for satellites or for bandwidth. We've got this next shot to survive, but if we don't get the funds in, we shut down. So we're selling three emergency limited edition posters at InfoWarsStore.com right now that are critical to us staying on the air. And I want to encourage you to go now to get I Have Not Yet Begun to Fight, John Paul Jones poster, and two others, Make No Peace with Evil and Defend the West, Iconic Crusades. Go now to InfoWarsStore.com to get one or more of these iconic posters, limited edition. We cannot do it without you. I have fired the bat signal. Take action now if you want to stand with us in this fight at InfoWarsStore.com, and I salute you for your support.
People look up at the TV and they see banners, they see headlines. I used to be in that business, and I know that everything is written intentionally. For example, a banner or a headline, Mideast War Intensifies, splashing on the screen the last couple of days, alongside visuals of civilian or energy targets that Iran has hit, because that's what they do. What should the banner read instead? How about Iran increasingly desperate? Because they are. They know it, and so do you, if it can be admitted. Or more fake news from CNN. Reports that the Trump administration underestimated the Iran war's impact on the Strait of Hormuz. Patently ridiculous, of course. For decades, Iran has threatened shipping in the Strait of Hormuz. This is always what they do, hold the Strait hostage. CNN doesn't think we thought of that. It's a fundamentally unserious report. The sooner David Ellison takes over that network, the better. Another example of a fake headline that I saw yesterday, War Widening. Here's a real headline for you for an actual patriotic press. How about Iran shrinking, going underground? See, you see, Iran's leaders are hiding in bunkers and moving into civilian areas. The only thing that is widening is our advantage. Not to mention our Gulf partners stepping up even more, now going on the offense, and have always been with us on the defense with collective and integrated air defenses. Our will, it is unshakable. Our options, maximized, and our capabilities still building. We're going up, they're going down. As I said from the start, President Trump holds the cards. He'll determine the pace, the tempo, and the timing of this conflict, his hand firmly on the wheel, as well as on the throttle setting. America first, peace through strength, in action. From day one, as our nation expects and the president demands, our warriors have fought with lethality, precision, and rapid innovation. In fact, today will be, yet again, the highest volume of strikes that America has put over the skies of Iran and Tehran. The number of sorties and number of bomber pulses, the highest yet, ramping up and only up. And quantity has a quality of its own. As we continue to ramp up, every tool of AI, of cyber, of space, EW, counter UAS, you name it, we're employing it. Blinding, confusing, and deceiving our enemy. Because we know who the good guys are here. And the American people do too. And that makes my job simple. I serve God, the troops, the country, the Constitution, and the President of the United States, and answer only to those. All in service of victory on the battlefield and the military objectives that we've laid out from day one. Defeat the missiles, missile launchers, and defense industrial base, which I laid out today. Defeat the Navy and deny Iran the ability to have a nuclear weapon. Clear, decisive, achievable. And Admiral Cooper knows, the CENTCOM commander who we spent a couple of hours with last night, that in pursuit of those objectives, we have his back in every way. His commanders know that, and so do the troops in harm's way. Admiral Cooper gets what he needs, the assets, the authorities, the munitions, you name it. We will stop at nothing to win. War is hell. War is chaos. And as we saw yesterday with the tragic crash of our KC-135 tanker, bad things can happen. American heroes, all of them. And as I have with all of them, as we have, we will greet those heroes at Dover, and their sacrifice will only recommit us to the resolve of this mission. But war in this context and in pursuit of peace is necessary, which is why each day on bended knee, we continue to appeal to heaven, to Almighty God's providence, to watch over and give special skill and confidence to our leaders and to our warriors. To those warriors who this nation prays for every single day, I hear from all of you out there who pray for them every day. Stay on bended knee and pray for them. I continue to say to them, Godspeed. May the Lord bless you and keep you and keep going. Mr. Chairman, over to you.
Thank you, Mr. Secretary, and good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you for joining us today. Before I start with an update, I also want to address the tragic loss of our KC-135 refueling aircraft yesterday. The incident occurred over friendly territory in western Iraq while the crew was on a combat mission, and again, was not the result, as CENTCOM has said, was not the result of hostile or friendly fire. We're still treating this as an active rescue and recovery operation. As CENTCOM announced this morning, four airmen have been recovered, and the Air Force and U.S. Central Command will provide updates as information becomes available. Please keep these brave airmen, their families, friends, and units in your thoughts in the coming hours and days. Our service members make an incredible sacrifice to go forward and do the things that the nation asks of them. It's a reminder of the true cost of the dedication and commitment of the Joint Force. We're also aware of a fire on board the USS Gerald R. Ford. We're thinking about the crew there who were injured in the fire. We believe and hope that everyone will be okay, and we're grateful for that. And for any further questions on that, we'd refer you to NAVCENT or to the Navy. This morning, we enter the 13th day of Operation Epic Fury, and we continue to make progress towards our military objectives. As the Secretary said, today will be our heaviest day of kinetic fires across the operating area. CENTCOM continues to attack ballistic missile and drone capabilities so that they are no longer a threat to U.S. forces, our bases, or our partners. They're continuing to destroy the Iranian Navy to ensure freedom of navigation, and this means going after Iran's mine-laying capability and destroying their ability to attack commercial vessels. And we're targeting their defense industrial base so they cannot rebuild the capabilities that can harm America's interests or our partners in the future. As Admiral Cooper said in his update on Wednesday, Iranian combat power continues to decline as a result of the continued strikes, as the Secretary talked about. We've attacked over 6,000 targets, and our strike packages continue to launch every hour, and we've maintained an unprecedented number of sorties up overhead of Iran. CENTCOM is now persistently over the enemy, and a result, we've seen a reduction in missile and one-way attack fires, as the Secretary said. In less than 2 weeks, we've rendered the Iranian Navy combat ineffective and continue to attack naval vessels, including all of their Soleimani-class warships, which were armed with anti-ship missiles and anti-aircraft weapons. We've made progress, but Iran still has the capability to harm friendly forces and commercial shipping, and our work on this effort continues. But I want to make something clear. The only thing preventing commercial traffic and flow through the straits right now, which there is some through the straits, is Iran. They are the belligerents here holding the straits closed, although there is some traffic moving through there. We've made it a priority to target Iran's mine-laying enterprise, their mine layers, the naval bases and depots, in addition to the missiles that could influence the straits. And CENTCOM continues to attack those efforts. And we continue to make progress on the industrial base to include factories, weapons, warehouses that are stored in. And we will continue to do so in the coming days, especially today. Now, as I often do, I want to share a little bit about our incredible joint force. Today, I'm going to talk about our incredible artillery force comprised of American soldiers and Marines who've been sinking ships, destroying depots, and launching Army Tactical Missile Systems, or ATACMS, Precision Strike Missiles, or PRISMs, and High Mobility Rocket Systems, or HIMARS. From outside Iran, our Army and Marine artillerymen are hitting sites that Iran relies on to project power beyond their borders and protect our deployed. In just the first 13 days of this operation, our artillery forces have made history. They fired the first precision strike missiles ever used in combat, reaching deep into enemy territory. They've used Army ATACMs to sink multiple ships, including a submarine. And they've done all of this with the precision and determination that comes from relentless training and trust in each other and in their weapon systems. Yesterday, I had the incredible honor and privilege of speaking with some of our young soldiers from the 3rd Battalion, 27th Field Artillery Regiment out of Fort Bragg, North Carolina, the unit and the crew that fired the first precision strike missiles. The soldiers I met came from all over this great country, New York, Texas, Delaware, California. One had been in the Army only 6 months and been in the unit for 2 months and was already deployed. He was the youngest at 20, but you would not know it from the way that they talked about their mission. The others were 22 and 28 years old. They spoke with a sense of calm pride, purpose, and clarity that tells you clearly they understand the weight of what they're doing and the people who depend on them. I asked them to walk me through a fire mission. I asked not just what they do, but what they feel, especially those first crew members on this particular mission. These soldiers basically live in these vehicles behind us. The cab, very tight. Two folks sit next to each other with the crew commander behind them. It's jammed inside there with their personal weapons and kit. And they sit and wait for a fire mission. And when that fire mission comes, they close the armored doors and begin to program the systems. They then throw three simple toggle switches, and 10 to 15 feet behind them, a rocket motor ignites, and the round is headed downrange to do the nation's work. I asked these youngsters, these young, awesome Americans, what does that feel like? And one of them just looked at me and said, "It's awesome." No drama, no hesitation. In the middle of the day, in the middle of the night, in the sun, the rain, in the snow, flawless execution. Their Marine counterparts are out there doing the same thing every night. Same work, same pressure, same expectations, same results. And we hand tremendous and enormous responsibility to these young Americans, and they carry it with a level of maturity, grit, professionalism, and tenacity that makes me incredibly proud to be a part of their joint force. Their parents and families would and should be incredibly proud, and their leaders and I trust them to do the deeds that they must do in difficult circumstances every single time. I also want to touch today a moment. On their leadership. These young Americans are led by extraordinary young leaders out at the tactical edge. Yesterday, the battery commander and her NCO were there with this crew on the same video screen. The two of them hardly said a word. They didn't have to. In their eyes, and in particular the commander's eyes, you could see the quiet trust and confidence she had in these soldiers and the rest of their battery. It came through loud and clear, and we appreciate their leadership. When I asked these soldiers yesterday, "What is it that you need from the secretary and I?" they looked at each other, paused for a moment, and looked back at me and said, "More rounds, sir." It was awesome. So thank you to those soldiers and Marines out on the firing line supporting our mission, and thank you to their families. Our joint force will continue today to deliver dynamic fires against the enemy from the land, sea, and air. We remain deeply grateful for their service. And for the third time today, I'll mention that today will be our busiest day. This mission remains complex, dangerous, and difficult, and every service member has a family waiting for them to return home. And I want to thank all of the families today who are supporting their deployed forces and those doing the work here in the States. On a personal note today, I also want to thank the joint staff and the team that I have the pleasure of working with. Some of them right here in this room. They are working 24 hours a day to deliver the options that we must to the Secretary and to the President. Today, as I close, I ask that we remember our fallen and those participating in the recovery operations to bring home our lost KC-135 crew, that we keep those service members and their families in their thoughts and prayers. Those are very, very, very tough days when that knock comes on the door for people on both sides of the door. Again, thank you to our deployed. Thank you to our fallen and to their families and to the joint force. And with that, I'll turn it back to you, sir. Mr. Chairman.
Alexandra Ingersoll, One America News. Can you tell us a little bit more about the Strait of Hormuz and when it might be fully operational again? And how do we ensure our objective of denying Iran a nuclear weapon if they continue to align with our adversaries?
So I'll take it and chime in, Mr. Chairman, if you'd like at all. I want to emphasize what the chairman said about that. The only thing prohibiting transit in the straits right now is Iran shooting at shipping. It is open for transit should Iran not do that. Now, there's a reason why we chose, as one of our primary objectives, destroy the Navy. We understood the ability to interdict shipping is something Iran has done for 40 years. It's key terrain. They've used it as leverage. The world is seeing what they'll do to fight back in that context. And so we've heard them talk about taking various measures, and we're planning for all of them. So we have a plan for every option here. We're working with our interagency partners. And that's not a strait we're going to allow to remain contested or with a lack of flow of commercial goods. So we're aware of that. We're laser focused on our military objectives, but also want to make sure our partners across this government understand we're working with you to make sure that energy flows. And that's an important part. And the second question was on the nuclear capability. As we said from the beginning, their strategy shifted just from defense of their nuclear facilities to a conventional umbrella of so many missiles that no one would challenge their ability to the opportunity to defeat their nuclear capabilities. And it was growing by the day. So with Iran at its weakest moment, going at that ballistic missile capability creates an opportunity to ensure at any point in time that Iran give up their nuclear capabilities, or if need be, you prevent them from doing it, as the president has done once already with Operation Midnight Hammer, obliterating those capabilities. So the conventional side is a huge part at getting at denying nuclear capabilities, if you have anything you want to add.
Appreciate the question. I'm not going to comment on what we may or may not be thinking about any options that the joint force could be tasked to do in the future, whether it's on the nuke matter or anything else. Thank you.
But we have options.
The mines that are in the Strait of Hormuz and our ability to, obliterate them?
We retain a range of options to solve a whole variety of problems. That is one set of options that we have, that we hold on to. So,
absolutely.
Thank you.
Thank you, Secretary Hegseth. I'm Mary Margaret with Daily Wire. Thank you both for the update. ABC News has updated its story from yesterday, clarifying that the FBI report on Iran possibly striking California was unverified. I just want to ask you, what impact did that original reporting have on the public, and does Iran even have the ability to conduct such a strike? And then just really quickly on another note, what role did Vice President Vance play in counseling the president on this conflict? Can you speak to some of the media reporting suggesting that there is a division there?
That reporting on California obviously had no impact on us. Also, we're used to bad reporting. We're used to ill-informed reporting. And so it doesn't change how we operate, but we engage with it to prove that it's not true, as CENTCOM has done so well. I look at the reports on a daily basis of threat. Our interagency's all over it. My partners across government are all over looking for indications and warnings, keeping the American people safe. There's a lot of things Iran has said it can do for a long time, thankfully, including engaging their proxies and getting them involved in the fight, which they haven't been able to do. So we're watching that very closely. And as far as the vice president, he's an incredible member, leader of this team as well, alongside the president and Secretary of State. I can't say enough great stuff about this team, how it works together, how it provides options to the president and the vice president every single day. Is a key voice in that, an indispensable voice in that, actually. In the middle there, red tie. Yes.
Yes. Michael Gordon, Wall Street Journal. Iran is thought to have 440 kilograms of highly enriched uranium in at least two locations and several thousand kilograms of lower purity material. Can you conclude this mission successfully without physically taking control of that material, or are you counting on diplomatic negotiations to provide some measure of control leading to its removal. You've mentioned missiles, you've mentioned drones, military industry. You haven't stipulated that taking care of that material is a mission priority.
We've said from the beginning, deny Iran nuclear weapons as a core mission. We retain options across the spectrum to ensure that they never do. And President Trump has said that. And that's why this mission actually couldn't have been possible without Midnight Hammer, without what those B-2s did going across and obliterating those facilities. That set the condition for the opportunity to do what we're doing now. So the president's kept his eye focused on nuclear capabilities. And I will say we have a range of options, up to and including Iran deciding that they will give those up, which, of course, we would welcome. They weren't willing to do in negotiations. I would never tell this group or the world what we're willing to do or how far we're willing to go. But we have options for sure. Right next to him.
Me?
No, right there.
Right here, sir?
Right here? I'll take it.
Quarter
for
zip
sure.
Right there. Yep. No, you. Yep.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Can you please provide some guidance? It's been 13 days in. Can you please provide some guidance, both of you, about the strike on the girls' school?
All right, guys, we're going to be stepping in on this. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the American Journal. We're excited you're all jumping on with us today. Pete Hegseth, obviously, holding that press conference moments ago at the Pentagon. Again, this is a big one, given the fact that yesterday, sadly, there was an incident that occurred during a refueling aircraft situation. Four of its crew members, there's six total, but four of those crew members that were on board have been confirmed deceased, sadly. Again, these are U.S. service members who apparently went down around the western area of Iraq. Now, again, four so far confirmed. They are still searching for those other two, that being confirmed over at the Pentagon earlier today as well. And it's also worth noting, hours before this crash took place, or, the refueling accident took place, I wanted to make sure that you guys knew this, because I thought it was quite strange, too, that there was, and we don't know if this is the actual photos of the refueling jets that did crash, but there was a post to Central Command's X page, and it included photos. Also, Reuters published a video as well. And again, this was just moments before this incident happened. I don't know if this is over the western area of Iraq, but this was one of the images that were posted to the page prior to that accident. We're going to be doing a deep dive into the latest regarding Iran in just a few moments. We will also be getting to the two terror attacks that did take place yesterday. Obviously, many of you have learned some of the details. We've got all the latest information on that front. And again, we're not going to back away from it. These were two Islamic terror attacks. That now makes four in the last, 14 days? So we're not fear-mongering when we tell you about the sleeper cells. We're not fear-mongering when we're telling you about the cyber attacks that are going to take place, because we know that those have happened so far. And so, folks, we're going to keep delivering you the news. Again, when Alex and I sat down, this was a Saturday, the day that the attacks started taking place in Iran, we told you all, watch out for the cyber attacks. And watch out for potential sleeper cells or just Islamists going out there and causing terror attacks. Well, so far, there's been four Islamic terror attacks, and there has been officially one major cyber attack that has taken place by a pro-Iranian group. I'll bring you the latest information on that front in just a little. We've got an incredible show lined up for you, of course. In the meantime, though, head on over to the alexjonesstore.com. Iodine has just launched on the website, and it's 50% off for VIP members and 25% off for everyone else. America 250 t-shirt is also on sale. Final day, $14.99 for those shirts. It's 60% off again. $14.99 for these limited edition shirts. And it's also our March mega sale going on right now at thealexjonesstore.com.
My people perish for lack of knowledge. That's what the Bible tells us. Another way to say it is, those that don't know history are doomed to repeat it. God has given us compounds in nature that aren't just important, they're vital, they're essential. If you don't have oxygen for 4 minutes, you die. You don't have water for 4 or 5 days, you die. You don't have food for a month, you die. And why is that? Because there's nutrients in the food you need that are essential. Well, iodine is one of the essential nutrients. We have massive shortages of it in our depleted soils. Now, I have a new CIA declassified document I'm going to hit here in just a moment. But first, I want to show you a few headlines. UN study, 2 billion people suffer from vitamin mineral deficiencies, particularly iodine, the number one cause of cognitive disabilities in the world today. Here's another one. Salt Smarts how iodine has increased America's IQs. Starting in the 20s, we had super low IQs like iodine. They put it in 15-20 point increase. My point is, this is a known fact. It just got declassified 2 weeks ago, CIA Operation Artichoke, in the 50s. They said, we've been tasked by the big tax-free foundations, the Rockefellers and Carnegies, to dumb down the American people. And we're going to put poisons in the food, the water, and the vaccines to dumb them down to make them more manageable. Absolutely incredible. So right here, ladies and gentlemen, I have taken a few drops of our new T3, even better than X2, pure atomic iodine, and mixed it with our medical-grade methylene blue. Both of these supercharge your cells, clean out your body, and counter the effects of the things now being admitted by the CIA. That fluoride calcifies the pineal gland and jackets your cells where they cannot transmit. Now, I've been telling you this for decades, so they have major studies, but now, here it is. CIA declassified research, the human body is a liquid crystal that is literally transmitting and receiving a transceiver. And what does fluoride do? It literally blocks that. What goes in and strips that out? Iodine and methylene blue, they act in different ways. So this is information that the bad guys not want you to know. Also in the CIA document, they admit that most cancer is microscopic worms. There's hundreds of species that get in and colonize your body, amoebas, and eat your breast, your liver, your brain, you name it. And then they call it a tumor and cancer when they're just areas of your body that have been chewed out. Now, you've seen us with countless doctors and scientists on talking about this. Not all cancer is this, but the majority of it from studies is, and they are again telling you that you just got to die. And if you've got an infection of parasites in your brain or whatever, if they hit it with radiation, it kills the parasites. But the radiation also kills your regular cells. Turns out the majority of people in the world have one form or another of parasite. Here's the Daily Mail. CIA faces furious backlash after a hidden document. The potential cure for cancer is declassified after 60 years. We've talked about this for many, many years. We are totally vindicated again. And right now, we finally have the original pure iodine back, but even stronger, now known as T3. The original X2, but even better, at thealexjonesstore.com. Again, ladies and gentlemen, T3 and what it does for your body is amazing. So for a limited time, you can get T3, our new iodine, the very best ever, at thealexjonesstore.com if you're a VIP member for 50% off, regular customers 25% off at thealexjonesstore.com. It funds the operation, total win-win. Now, methylene blue, you fill in 30 minutes on average. Iodine takes about 2 weeks to kick in to get the full effect, but it is just as amazing. You are insane if you don't go to thealexjonesstore.com right now and get our Ultra Methylene Blue and the new T3 that's even better than the next two. The same formula, but stronger. Exclusively available right now at thealexjonesstore.com. And I thank you so much for your support.
Morello has the dots they don't want connected. The truth they can't censor. The American Journal continues live on X and band.video worldwide.
Welcome back to the American Journal. We're excited you're jumping on board with us today. As I described earlier, there were two Islamic terror attacks that took place yesterday, one taking place 22 miles away from Dearborn, Michigan. That's actually where we find right now Gretchen Whitmer speaking. She's the governor of Michigan, and she just started a press conference. Let's take a listen.
I can't tell you how much I appreciate your leadership yesterday and how much my heart goes out to everything that you and your family and all of the families involved and the Jewish community writ large are going through. You know, I wanted to come today for a briefing, which we just concluded, to get up to speed on where things stand. I want to thank our state and local law enforcement, the first responders, our federal partners for their swift work to keep people safe and to investigate. I want to thank Temple Israel's security personnel. They were selfless in their courage and they saved lives. These heroes threw themselves in harm's way, engaging the suspect and let's be very clear. Yes, this is a place of worship, but at the time that this attack was occurred, it was a school, 104 children age 5 and younger here. So I want to thank all of Temple Israel's staff who acted quickly to evacuate students and reunite families. The state of Michigan will wrap our arms around this community and support our local and federal partners every step of the way to keep people safe. I want to share prayers from my colleague, Governor Shapiro of Pennsylvania. Josh called, reached out yesterday to check in and see how people were doing. And I want Michigan's Jewish community to know that we are with you. Violence in our houses of worship and in our schools and in our daycare centers like this hits especially hard. Temple Israel is a pillar of the community. It's one of the largest Reform Jewish congregations in North America, with Friday night Shabbat services attracting over 1,000 people. People celebrate bar and bat mitzvahs, weddings, and holidays here. Parents bring their children to daycare and school, and it's a place of peace, unity, light, and life. Yesterday's attack was anti-Semitism. It was hate, plain and simple. We will fight this ancient and rampant evil. We will stand together as we do it, and we will call it out. We must lower the rhetoric in this state and in this country, especially at this moment where we have seen such a rise in anti-Semitism and more attacks on the Jewish community. We must keep each other close. This community is on the edge, very understandably. We've seen a rise in attacks, especially over the last decade, especially over the last 10 months. And so it is important for us to stand up, to stand against it, and to thank the people who showed up to support the community, but also call out where we see acts of anti-Semitism, where we see threats, where we see something, how important it is to say something, and to recognize that each of us has a responsibility. People like the person that attacked this community yesterday get fomented by rhetoric that they see online and that they see on television and they hear on the radio. It radicalizes people and it endangers our fellow Michiganders. We cannot let this continue. And so each of us has a duty to take action where and how we can. And with that, I'll hand it over to Senator Slotkin and then we'll take a couple of questions.
All right, let me step in on this. So that was the Governor Gretchen Whitmer, saying just that. Again, it seems like she used the moment a little bit towards the end to highlight the Democrats' push for censorship on social media platforms. Again, she's saying that people are becoming radicalized online, and she's blaming that for the terror attack that took place. And you didn't hear the word Islam in any of that. Ain't that something? The terror attacks that took place yesterday, folks, the two of them, you know what they had in common? Well, both of the Islamic terrorists, their names start with Muhammad. And so that's what we're here dealing with right now. Both of them are Muhammads. I mean, it's not just a bad, distasteful joke, folks. The facts align with the fact that when we import people from countries that hate us, this is what we get. I'm going to walk you through the ties to immigration that both of these suspects have. But most importantly, it's not just them. It's also the other two that took place days ago. What, less than 14 days? We've had four terror attacks, Islamic terror attacks. And don't let these politicians bury the lead. The lead is they are Islamic terror attacks. Everyone's too afraid to call it out. You know we won't. We'll get into the details of that in just a few moments. I wanted to make sure we finished our briefing regarding what's going on in Iran. President Trump taking to Truth Social earlier this morning saying we've totally destroyed the terrorist regime. He goes on to saying, giving a little jab to the failing New York Times, would incorrectly think that we are not winning. He also claims that the Iranian Navy is completely gone. You heard Pete Hegseth at the Pentagon talking about that earlier as well. They focused on the Navy for many, many reasons. But it was to make sure they weren't going to retaliate in the form of energy. Again, he goes on to saying that their military was unparalleled, calling them deranged scumbags today. He also is calling for the increase in attacks in Iran. He says in the next 24 hours are going to be a little rough for the regime and those that are still standing. Now, again, the person who's taken over as the supreme leader is currently in the hospital. Pete Hegseth saying that he's, in fact, disfigured. It's likely that he is still in a coma. So again, there's a lot of reports. Some people have been reporting they thought he was dead. Doesn't look to be that case. The Pentagon saying that he's disfigured. Let's turn to Stephen Miller, because as many of you guys know, Stephen Miller has his finger on the pulse multiple times, is accurate about things when he goes out there and speaks to what's going on. So whenever I hear that Stephen Miller is talking about what's going on in Iran, I usually listen up, because he knows everything, it seems like. Let's play clip one for you.
Well, I think it's important for your viewers, Jesse, and the American people to know that there's never in history been a more total asymmetric one-sided annihilation of the enemy than you are witnessing that is unfolding right now in Iran. Iran has long been feared by all the nations of the Middle East. It's long been believed to be one of the great military powers of the region. And yet the United States, under President Trump's leadership, has annihilated their navy, has annihilated their missile capabilities, has dealt devastating strikes to the IRGC and their command structure, has taken out, in collaboration and coordination with Israel, their nation's sinister leadership and command structure. It has been a complete wipeout of their capacity to unleash violence on the world. And we are in the process right now of degrading their entire military industrial base so that they cannot resume creating and building these weapons that not only could reach Europe, that not only could reach our military bases, but that someday could reach the mainland United States. So this has been, by every definition, an unprecedented military success against a regime that since 1979 has exported nothing but bloodshed and violence and claimed countless American lives.
Now, as many of you guys know, this administration is claiming victory so far, but they will not say that this is a full-on war. Again, President Trump saying, we've got all the ammunition, we've got all the time on our hands, we're not going to stop until there is a complete surrender. And that's what's happening right now. Now, in regards to the surrounding nations, you know, we keep hearing members of this administration go out there and they're trying to, you know, nudge neighbors to go out and condemn publicly Iran. In fact, yesterday, the UN ambassador, Mike Waltz, was speaking on the issue, and he actually wants the Gulf Arab nations to come forward and to condemn Iran publicly. Take a listen to clip two.
135 countries, and I read every one of them signed up with us. I read every one of them out loud, but I just can't emphasize enough for the Gulf Arabs to come together. And they've been kind of at loggerheads over Yemen and Sudan and all kinds of other things. To stand uniformly is incredibly powerful. And now today, and this is the part I don't think is getting a lot of attention, we are going to go the next round of snapback sanctions. Again, you know, kind of in this guise of where's the UN any good or helpful, President Trump put maximum pressure back in. He had it his first term. Biden lifted it. President Trump put it back in last year. And now the rest of the world will be with us. And the thing that's not changing right now is the absolute devastation that's going on within the Iranian economy. Mm-hmm. Their currency is in free fall. Their reserves are in free fall. If you remember the protests just a few months ago, it was from their merchant class. And that isn't going to get any better for this regime.
So we'll see how that all buckles up for the administration. Obviously, that's something that they're really, really focused on right now. Let's shift gears a little bit to the terror attack, and let's bring it back there. The press conference is still ongoing right now, but I didn't want to keep us, you know, in that, because right now it seems like Gretchen Whitmer is making this more about political speech. Refusing to say the word Islam tells me that they're not being truthful, and they're also refusing to actually talk about what's going on here. Yesterday, you know, there were several terror attacks that took place, but the Old Dominion one, let's focus on that one first. Two people are injured. Sadly, one has lost his life. Lieutenant Colonel Shihai, I believe is how you pronounce it, is the individual, sadly, who's lost his life. He is a well-decorated service member. But it didn't have to happen. Why? Well, the suspect involved in all of this, of course, his first name is Mohammed, was someone who was actually apprehended prior to all of this. He is someone who apparently was accused and was, well, he spent some time in federal prison for attempting to aid ISIS. He opened fire in the classroom, obviously killing one. But folks, when you hear the details of all of this, and I want you to listen to the press conference that was held on this, Listen carefully. I actually greatly appreciate this. Why? Because they're not backing away from the facts. They're all sitting here and they're going to tell you, which is rare because this is the FBI. They're actually telling you exactly what the motive was in all of this. Take a listen to clip three and how the federal, this is going to be the FBI special agent who's in charge. Take a listen to what she said in regards to the details of yesterday's terror attack in clip three.
I can tell you that we have confirmed reports that prior to him conducting this act of terrorism, he shouted or stated Allah Akbar, and he was formerly a subject of a FBI investigation in material supporting terrorism.
Agent, were there explosives in his car?
We have no information about any explosives in his car or anywhere else at this time.
Did he have one weapon?
As far as I know, we only know of one weapon that he had on his person at this time.
What kind of aid was he giving to ISIL 10 years ago?
He wanted to conduct a terrorist attack similar to that in Fort Hood, Texas.
Is there any mention of the war in Iran right now?
None whatsoever.
How was he deceased?
There were students that were in that room that subdued him and rendered him no longer alive. I don't know how else to say it, but they basically were able to terminate the threat.
So he was not shot?
He was not shot.
He shot three people?
Correct. We have information that he shot three people.
The one that went to Virginia Beach for treatment, was that person just winged or grazed?
So I don't have any information at this time about the specific, life-threatening or not otherwise to the two that are still alive. But at this time, we're respecting the victims of the shooting. That includes not only the ones that were shot, but all of the people here at ODU, I consider our victims. This is a tragic event, and I do ask that you look at that. You're all part of our community, too. And so I just want to throw that out there, too, to give the respect and the time needed to provide that additional information about the victims.
Did you say he was released in 2024?
Correct.
What was the Bureau's intelligence level on him since then?
So I don't have any of that information right now. That's because this is an ongoing investigation. After we learned of his name, we confirmed that he was formerly a subject of material support to terrorism investigation and obviously was sentenced for that. But I don't have any information indicating that he was known or an ongoing problem.
Do you have one more question?
Do you have more specifics on how he was subdued?
Yeah, the brave ROTC members in that room subdued him. And if not for them, I'm not sure, what else he may have done. But that's exactly, they confronted him and they subdued him and he was no longer able to conduct any further attack.
Now, when you look at the details as to how they were able to subdue him, sorry, folks, still early, got to give me a good hour. The details, according to reports, they're saying that they actually stabbed him. Good on them. Good on them. Saving countless lives and saving the American taxpayer a lot of money on a BS trial. This man, when you give him a second chance to go out there and kill, guess what they do, folks? They actually do it. They actually do it. The fact that we release him from prison. And I was reading reports as to how long the Trump administration back in 2017 asked a federal judge to give him for that crime of supplying material to ISIS. Guess how much they asked for? Guess. 20 years. The DOJ asked for 20 years in prison. The judge turned around, declined, and sentenced him to only to 132 months in prison. And of course, 5 years of supervised release. I guess he wasn't being supervised. These people are all absolute scumbags. Absolute scumbags. By the way, the Biden administration released the terrorist years before his sentence was supposed to be up. That was back in December 2024. So when you give them an avenue to go out there and slaughter Americans, guess what they're going to do, folks? He's proven to the American people, he's proven to the courts that he is in fact a terrorist. And what do they do? Well, they say, let's give him a second opportunity. supply material to ISIS, and we gave him freedom. Doesn't end there. Yesterday, as many of you guys know, I was on with Alex when we were learning more and more about the terror attacks that were taking place all across the country. Two of them yesterday. The last 14 days, again, I can't stop saying this. There were four of them. The mainstream media won't tell you that, though. They don't want to connect the dots. CNN's still telling you about the New York City two terrorists that they caught, allegedly, of course. But those two, they're saying, they were just two teens just walking through the park in New York City, enjoying the good old weather, when suddenly their lives were changed forever. Absolute propaganda garbage for the jihadists. And then those innocent children that were shot and killed inside of an Austin bar. The Michigan synagogue attacker, of course, his middle name, Muhammad, but he's a national from Lebanon who first entered our country back in 2011 on IR1 immigration visa status as the spouse of a U.S. citizen. He was then later naturalized and received his U.S. citizenship in 2016 under Barack Obama, of course. And you know where he was living by? Dearborn, Michigan. You know, I was on with Alex yesterday. We didn't have any information. We did know that there was an active incident taking place in the area. We heard synagogue, and the first thing I asked the control room was, hey, how far is that synagogue from Dearborn, Michigan? 22 miles. Knew it immediately. This individual rammed his vehicle into the synagogue. That vehicle had explosive devices inside of it. And once inside of the building, he apparently opened fire. We're still trying to learn the information as to if he was able to get out of the vehicle. There was a body that was burning inside of the vehicle. Those details yet have not been totally released. But according to reports, he was really upset because a couple of his family members, apparently, who still lived in Lebanon, were killed in the recent strikes. He was devastated 10 days earlier by the news that several of his family members, including his niece and nephew, were apparently killed in an Israeli attack on their home in Lebanon. Now, again, folks, this was all avoidable. If we stopped allowing these people into our country, when you go through the list of specifically like where these last four terrorists have all come from, what is it? I mean, the bulk of them, I think we're now up to three of them who were naturalized immigrants, if I'm not mistaken. Naturalized citizens would be the term. And then the other two teens in New York City, their families coming from places like Turkey, Afghanistan. We brought them into our country. And as a result of that, their teenage kids go out there and allegedly try throwing explosives into crowds of protesters. You know, and we're going to do a deep dive into all of this because the Trump administration is backing away from their commitment, that commitment being exactly what we've talked about, mass deportations. But it's very, very hard to conduct mass deportations when you're looking at the result of legal immigration. You can't just deport those people. There's got to be some connection to fraud to be able to denaturalize them and toss them out of the country. And that's the problem with all of this, folks. It's an uphill battle. We've allowed these people into our country. We've given them citizenship. And then they spit back in our faces and say, we're going to kill you. We're going to kill you. See, I remember a time, this is pre-9/11, I was in elementary school at the time. I remember a time, though, where you didn't have to worry about these things, right? Me and my family were able to go to Christmas events, and you didn't have to step over or step through concrete barriers to go enjoy a stroll in a downtown setting with Christmas lights. You didn't have to walk through airports and go through all this extensive amount of security. We didn't have to have metal detectors everywhere to go to arenas, go to sporting events. You know why? Because we had a very small amount of Islamists in this country. But due to our suicidal empathy, we have allowed millions to flood into our country. Why? Well, because the left has guilted so many Americans into thinking that we need to do this. Now, again, everyone always says there's peaceful Muslims, and of course there are. There are millions and millions of them in our country that are peaceful. But I haven't seen any of them come forward and condemn any of this. Four terror attacks over the last few days, and guess what? I hear nothing from the Muslim community. They're not trying to distance themselves. Although they would not carry out those terror attacks, they read the same Quran that those lunatics read. Maybe it's less inbreeding and they're not so crazy. But they pick and choose what they want to abide by in the Quran. And obviously with over 100 violent threats that are in the Quran, I mean, it's really just acts of violence that they're telling you about. It's over 100 of them. It's quite strange how we don't see more of this, honestly. But here we are again talking about two more terror attacks caused by Islamists. It's not fear-mongering. I know a lot of people like to blame other people, but this is not what we're doing. We're not doing this. We're not doing this. We're not going to sit here, as you just heard Governor Whitmer do, and blame the internet for radicalizing people. Of course the internet radicalizes people. But they're going to use that as a way to go after free speech. We're not going to allow that. Say it. Say it. Stop being a bunch of cowards and sitting there and trying to appease your jihadists who are loyalists to you because they know that you're ignorant. They know you're going to allow them into your country. They don't care. They don't care. They don't care if they're destroying our communities. That is the ultimate goal here. We've imported people from third world countries throughout the Middle East. We brought them into our country. They despise us. They hate us. And then they go and attack us. Now, again, I mean, Israel has a big part in this. Obviously, they are causing a lot of issues for the United States right now. But as a whole, I wouldn't say that this is 100% Israel because these radical jihadists, it's not even radical. This is if you're following the Quran, it's telling you to do this. These jihadists that we've led into our country hate us. They hate us. And I keep using this analogy, but the reality of it is if you give me 10 apples and you tell me two of them are poisonous, I'm not eating any of the apples. You'd have to be a fool to eat one of those apples. Even with the small chance that I could possibly die from a poisonous apple, I'm still not going to have it. That's exactly what we've done to our country. The rationale that they're not all bad is absolute garbage. It's absolute garbage. We used to live in a country that was peaceful. We used to live in a country that at the core was Christian. And what we're doing right now is we're allowing them to take over. We've allowed this. They've built up their Muslim compounds. They are funded by foreign countries that hate us as well. And they're trying to take us out. And they're doing it. More to dive into in just a little bit. In the meantime, folks, head on over to thealexjonesstore.com. It's March Mega Sale going on right now. That's a 40% off your favorite supplements. NAD Plus, Ultimate Burn Life Force, CMOS gummies, as well as MK Ultra. So many items right now on sale over at thealexjonesstore.com. All right, don't go anywhere. More to discuss in a second.
So, CIA declassified documents last week, Operation Artichoke, to poison vaccines, food supply, and the water to dumb us down and make us controllable. Now new documents about ESP control, how we're really electrochemical systems, liquid crystals, and the pineal gland, and how most people have microscopic to actual large worm infestations, not just from cats, you name it, like Kennedy has one in his brain, and they didn't tell the public most cancer, breast cancer, brain cancer is worms. Ladies and gentlemen, you can look it up, go to the UN's own website, they admit it. Over 2 billion people have cognitive disabilities because they do not have enough iodine. In the 20s, they found this house where it put in the salt, IQs went up about 20 points on average, 15, 20 points. Well, we have the very best atomic iodine in the world, has been available in several years, ladies and gentlemen. But we have the original X2 back, but even stronger, pure atomic. Atomic isn't radioactive. It means it's on the periodic table. It is absolutely pure. And I mix that with ultramethylene blue that is also on record good for your pineal gland and reversing the calcification, the rest of it. Well, we've got the best methylene blue. And I just mixed the iodine with the methylene blue. With this water, I'm going to drink this, and this is pure rocket fuel, so good for your body. Essential iodine with methylene blue together is amazing. Pretty scary looking, too. So, by the way, the new product is supposed to be available right now at thealexjonesstore.com is T3. It's X2 back even better at thealexjonesstore.com. So for all the fans that wanted it, everybody that wanted to get it, we have had it for over a year. It is back, reborn, like the Phoenix, even stronger. Exclusively available through our sponsor, thealexjonesstore.com. But regardless, our methylene blue, our iodine is the best, and it does so many other things. Libido, stamina, energy, and they go together like a horse and carriage. Get them both now. There's also another big sale as well at thealexjonesstore.com, and I thank you for your support.